The radio. Won't you open your Bible to the probably one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, often misquoted, but it's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, 28. I'm going to read the verse, then I'm going to go to the Old Testament and talk about the story that pretty much personifies or fulfills the verse. Romans 8, 28. I hope you can quote it. Think about it. A lot of folks say all things work together for good. That's where they stop, and that's not right. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's a big difference, folks. Don't kid yourself. Everything don't seem to work out for good. This is an old sin-cursed world. It's a depraved world, but to them that love God, that's what the promise is. I want you to go now to the last book, last chapter of the first book, which would be Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, and Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, and called according to His purpose, and nothing personifies that story any bigger than what we call the story of Joseph at the end here, the last chapters of the book of Genesis. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the subject. Is there a purpose? Or the purpose of God? Do you remember as a kid when you'd play with your friends and they'd say, you've done that on purpose? Anybody remember that accusation? You've done that on purpose. Yeah, we probably said it ourselves a few times. Sometimes it's pretty hard to see the purpose in something. I think about the young soldier boy. All his buddies got to notice him. Everywhere he went, piece of paper on the ground, in the building, wherever it was, he picked it up and he smelled of it and threw it down. He'd say, that's not it. They got to watching him everywhere he went, pick up another piece of paper, smell of it, and say, nope, that's not it. Finally, they went to the captain. They said, Joe, there's something wrong with him. Said, don't know what it is, don't know what his purpose is. He's always picking up a piece of paper and smelling of it and saying, that's not it. Captain got to watching him and finally brought him in one day and handed him a discharge, and he said, we just can't keep you in the army no more. Don't need you no more. He grabbed the paper, smelled of it, said, that's it. Purpose behind some things you might not understand sometimes. Amen. Does God have a purpose in all this bad stuff going on, all this shut in, all this fear, and all this panic? Does God have a purpose in it? I think He does. As I look at an Old Testament picture, I see a fellow that got mistreated, and I'm sure he couldn't understand. That man was Joseph. You remember the story? You remember in Sunday school how they taught you that Joseph had a coat of many colors, remember? And how Joseph went out to his brother, and his brother got jealous of him because he had a dream showing that he was going to be the dominant one, and they couldn't handle that, and they sold him down into slavery into Egypt. Remember the story? Got to familiarize you here now. You're on your own time. Hurry up and get it. The story of Joseph back there, how he was mistreated, sold into slavery, sold into Potiphar's house, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and then went to prison. And the very guys he helped forgot to help him. But then in God's providence, God moved him out of the prison and set him at the very right hand of Pharaoh. Here's a place in the Bible where Pharaoh, an Egyptian ruler, actually is picturing Father God. And Joseph here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand. All power, all authority give to him. And he saved Egypt, you remember, from the famine. And all this, it's a great story. I hope you read it, folks. I hope you understand it. Because in the Old Testament, that's a picture of what happened to Jesus in the New Testament. Joseph's brother sold him out, denied him. So did Jesus. He came on his own received him not, the Bible says. And yet in the end, do you remember how that God brought it all around, working it out for Joseph's good, working it out for the good of a heathen nation, Egypt. And how he finally brought it down to the place those brethren had to fall at the feet of Joseph. And Joseph recognized them when they didn't recognize him. That's the picture of Jesus. Yeah, he came unto his own received him not. He came to Israel, he came to the Jews, he came to the nation of Israel, and they rejected him and said, away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us, remember? And yet the Bible tells us when Jesus comes back, finally his brethren's going to recognize him. Say, where'd you get the wounds? In your hands, in your side. And he was going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. We see the whole story as it's portrayed in the life of Joseph. And the results was that Pharaoh wound up owning, and you might never quite understood that. When you study the Exodus, when you study how Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh and asked for the people to go, and you remember how Pharaoh didn't want to do it? Do you understand that Pharaoh had wound up owning everything, including the Jewish race of people in Egypt, because of this thing? Because when the famine came, they gave it all up to get some corn to eat. Remember the story? And you remember the 7 lean years and the 7 plus years, and how Joseph had them saved during the good times for the bad times, and how that Egypt, Pharaoh, wound up owning the people, actually did. And when he chased after them and the Red Sea wiped him out, he was chasing after, he thought, rightfully his own property there. It's an amazing story as you look at it. Now, our day today, we're looking around and we're seeing our crisis today. And the question is legitimate to ask, could God have a purpose in this? Could he have a purpose in this? I want to say to you, I believe he does. I want to talk to you what is very obvious here this morning. This morning we can know that Satan's got a purpose in it. Satan had a purpose in selling Joseph, but God took care of Satan's purpose and won, didn't he? But Satan has a purpose today. He wants the kingdom. Do you understand what it's all about? Who is going to get the kingdom? We pray the so-called Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We find out that Satan may have had some authority and he lost it to the first Adam, and then he got the first Adam into sin and he took it back. And you know what the Bible calls the devil? It calls him the god of this world. Right. We wonder why things go amiss all the time. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And he wants the kingdom. That's what he wants. It's a worldwide move today. And he uses fear. Haven't you been shocked about how people have been motivated in fear the last few weeks? How quick it came, how the panic came. Yes, fear. Job, remember? Satan came before God to accuse Job. Remember the story? What did he say? He said, God, if you'd quit blessing him, he'd curse you. Remember? Now, Job passed the test, but one thing Satan said that sticks with me, that I see with humanity today, Satan said, yea, skin for skin, all that he hath will he give for his life. Have you looked around today and seen the fear? Everybody's afraid of their own skin, so to speak. I guess literally they don't shake hands, touch your skin either. Now, we can joke about it a little bit, but the truth of the matter is it's an amazing how humanity, we all know it. Don't we know we're going to die? It's appointed unto men once to die, the Bible says. Don't we know that? Yet we act like we're going to live forever. We miss this virus, we'll live forever. It may not be this one. There's another one coming, and there's a car wreck coming, and there's something else coming. One of these days, do all you want to. Take all the vitamin pills. Buckle all your seat belts. And I'm for all that. But you're only rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. The whole thing's going down. That's right. Big thing is be ready. What's on the other side? Amen. But the devil knows all this. He wants the kingdom. He's got a purpose behind it. And all the falsification of all the mislabeling of the disease today, and the idea that one size fits all, and we're all getting painted with the same brush they're painting New York with. I want to say to you, there's a difference in Polk County, Florida, and someplace they're still fighting snow up north. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something else. It got in the news this week that sunlight and heat kills this virus. It better stay out of Florida. We're fixing to get some heat. I'm going to tell you that. Amen? If you've been here as long as I have, you know it's coming. And the truth of the matter is we can kind of see it funny a little bit, but the truth is God's going to see us through this thing too. But the devil has a purpose. He wants to take your rights away from you. He wants to scare you to death. He wants you to do dumb things if he can get you to. You know, I saw where I met somebody in New York here a while ago, but I saw where the mayor of the city up there was saying we got to monitor each other. We got to take each other's picture if we catch them in a crowd. And we got to squeal on each other. We can laugh about it, but hey, the Bible predicts a day will come that families will even turn on each other. I mean, we're looking, folks, I believe, at the shadow of some of the end times coming on us, and we're seeing these rights that we're losing. Spy on your neighbor. Take the picture. Attack the churches. Brother Parsons was telling me, I didn't see it, but he was telling me he saw a video somewhere in Virginia. Virginia's got the governor that says it's okay to let the baby be born and then decide if you want to kill it or not. Man, hell's going to be hot for a fellow like that. But that governor had a preacher arrested. He was in jail 3 days. 3 days for what? Having church. That's sort of like was in Russia. Amen. In the worst of the communist days. I met preachers over there that went to jail and stayed for years for one big sin, one big crime, and that was opening a church. What in the world is happening to America today? But our churches are under attack. I remember when I was over there back in the early 90s, we were over there on Sunday morning, went way out in the woods where they kind of had a church hid. And they had poles and Biscuit Queen up, and it was snow and ice, but we had more people by far, about twice what we got here this morning in there. And several preachers preaching. Some of you couldn't handle this. Four or five preachers in a row, and they didn't want sermonettes. They wanted sermons. I don't know how some of you are going to stand in heaven 30 minutes and you're through. Anyway, we was in the church service, and it'd been going a little while, and through what we'd call the doors, the entrance way back there, the way they had it fixed, a soldier boy came in a uniform. Now, we American preachers up here on the platform were the Russian preachers, and we knew all the stories about, you know, bad things happening when the soldiers came in to break up church. So we kind of tensed up a little bit. There come a soldier. But he came in, pulled off his cap, and sat down and enjoyed the service with us. But it prompted a story. I said something about it. They said, oh, yeah. I said, if it was up to the soldiers, they'd all be here if they could get off and come. But they told me a story like this. They said, I was having church, and during the worst persecution days, and said two or three soldiers came in to the church service. And he said one of them had a machine gun. He said he stopped the service, looked around, and said, all right, how many of you really believe this stuff? He said, several got up and left. And the soldier boy put his gun down, sat down, enjoyed the service with them. He said, I just wanted to get rid of the hypocrites that didn't really believe. That's the story they told me. I thought, I hope they don't try that at my church. But anyway, all right, I hope I'm joking. I don't know. Sometimes the very ones you think would stand won't. And the ones that you didn't think would does. Amen. Anyway, that's what the truth is. Satan has a purpose. He's using this thing big time. Really using it big time to attack the churches. But then I want to say this. Could God be making good out of evil? Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 50. Pick it up in the last few verses. In verse 19, Joseph said unto them, remember the story? The brethren come to him, Jacob's dead. The dad's dead. Now they say Joseph's going to get us. He was probably letting us alone. We done him wrong. He's probably letting us alone until daddy died. Now daddy's dead and buried. And they fear that Joseph is going to exact revenge on them. So they come and they plead with Joseph. And Joseph answers them in verse 19. He said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. What is Joseph saying? He's saying, you intended evil, but God made good out of it. I want to say the devil intends evil with this, but could God make good out of it? Yes, he could. Yes, he could. He could make good out of it. You know, it might cause, I'm just speculating a little bit, it might cause the whole world to look at America in a little bit different light. They look to us now as the golden duck, right? Pay the bills for the whole world and all that. They are looking to us for aid. We are sending ventilators around the world and a lot of other things. And they're looking to us to the answer. But if America would get really where they ought to be with God, they'd say to the world, God is the answer. And the truth and the Bible is the answer. Yes, God could make good out of evil. You know, if they look at our God, their gods are not working for them. Buddha's not going to solve the problem. Shintoism's not going to solve the problem. All the false cults you could name is not going to solve the problem. I'll tell you this much. There's one thing very clear. America was raised up by God. America's been preserved by God. And in spite of all our problems and all the sin and all the evil, there's something still preserved in America, and it's God. And it's God's people. And it's God's Holy Spirit in the people that's restraining evil from what it would be. And I believe when the rapture takes place, when that restrainer is pulled out, brother, it's going to be a different place down here. Sometimes you hear somebody say, well, that's hell on earth. Hell on earth's going to be here when God's people and God's spirit is removed. It really is. Yeah, God could be making good out of evil. The world is kind of watching America. I think about the French philosopher, Tocqueville, I believe is his last name. He came over in the early days of America. America was already becoming a light to the world. And he came over and he said, I came over to look for the secret of America's success. He said, I looked at the fields of waving grain, but he said, that wasn't the secret. He said, I looked at all the mineral deposits and I looked at all the technology and all, but he said, I did not discover the secret of America till I went into the church houses and heard the pulpits aflame with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key. That is the answer. And we look around today and say, could God be making good out of this? Yeah, we ought to tell the world there is hope. And the hope is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in our new vaccine. It's not in our new method of treatment. The truth is God can take care of the pestilence. He can take care of the plagues. And he can get people, give people the answer that will look to him for it. You know, God could be making good out of evil. Yeah, it's bad. It says people are dying from it. Even though, in all the falsification of it, they're not telling the truth in this sense. So many people were already on their deathbed before they labeled them of dying with this virus. Sadly, that is the case. Already weakened down with other things. And when we look around locally here and find our hospitals don't have very many patients in it, find out nurses having to go somewhere else to work because they've said if you ever need any time off, now's the time to take it. What in the world? They told us we were going to crash the hospital system. There was not going to be beds enough. And I remember I was a little bit shocked when a nurse that I knew, I said, you got people in the halls, you got beds everywhere up there. And she looked at me and she said, preacher, we don't hardly have any patients. It's a ghost town up there. I thought, what? That's not what I was hearing. Little propaganda is not always the truth, folks. And sadly, that is the case. Now, God could be making good. He could have a purpose to make good out of evil. He did in the days of Joseph. He can still do it again today. And then God might have a purpose to inspire some folks to get ready, get prepared for the end time. And the end time is closer than you think. We sang about it around here. We believe it around here. We teach it around here that Jesus is coming soon. I believe he is. Somebody said, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, I don't know when you first heard it, but it's a lot closer now. And he is coming. He is coming. There used to be a popular song back in the 70s, Jesus is coming soon, maybe morning, night, or noon. And that's still true. Still true. We got a right, more than any people that's ever been alive, to expect to see Jesus. Did you know that? I mean, before the undertaker, get the undertaker here. That'd be Jesus. And we got a right to expect that. The end time preparation, somebody ought to look around today and say, it's not whether or not I have taken my vitamins or got my vaccine shot, but what about after I take that last breath? That's what's going to count. Do I have a place to go then? You know, this virus thing has revealed the helplessness of mankind worldwide. Helplessness of government. You know, we're almost trained in America to believe government's God, that they can do anything, solve any problem. We're finding out they can't. We're finding out often the right hand and the left hand don't know what they're doing. I said they don't have the answers because they don't even know the questions. And the truth of the matter is, it ought to say to some folks, if you trust in government, that's a pretty weak trust. You don't have much to lean on. It reveals the helplessness of mankind. You know, I think about this once in a while, and of course, people are people, and you got saved government officials, and you got lost ones, like you have in any group. But many years ago, and I can't name the storm at the minute, but it was a hurricane coming right off the East Coast over here. It was dead centered for us. Haines City is kind of in the heart of Florida. And it was dead centered. It was one of the biggest storms we'd seen. It was in the news. It was coming straight at us. And very powerful, very bad. And the authorities, the government, Florida authorities, on the TV all the time, picturing it, talking about it. And I remember one man, and he was up in higher authority. He spoke up and he said, folks, we have done all we can do. It is only up to God now, and I suggest you pray. He was honest. He was telling, we're helpless. We've done all we can do. We can't do anything else. Well, you know what happened? It turned. It went away. Said, well, it was a coincidence. I love those coincidences. But it's because a lot of people prayed. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God got in it, don't you? But I believe the Lord could be in this thing. I believe he could have a purpose in it. And it is a sign of the nearness of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me switch just a little bit to say this. Let's watch out with our own attitude. You know what's real easy to do if you're born again, saved, and know when the trumpet sounds, you're going up? It's real easy for you and I to get like this. Get very complacent and lazy in our faith. Okay, Lord, I'm going to hide over here in the corner and suck my thumb till you get here. I'm just not going to do much because I'm waiting to escape. I'm just waiting for you to come grab me before the worst hits. That's an attitude we could all have if we're not careful. That's not what God wants us to have. He wants us to occupy till he comes. That's what the scripture says. Say, what does that mean? It means keep on doing right, keep on doing right, keep on talking to people about Jesus, keep on winning souls, keep on supporting the cause of missions. Because we don't know. He could come today and he could wait 5 years, and we don't want to sit and wait. We want to serve. That's what we want to do. And yes, God could be in this thing of end time preparation, warning people, revealing the helplessness of man, making good out of evil. And wouldn't it be much better to go out in victory instead of fear? Amen. I'm talking to believers now. Think about it. What would honor God the most? Just hide till he gets here? Or keep on serving till he gets here? I mean, go out in victory. See, the devil don't want you to know it, but the church is victorious. It is going to be caught out in glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could be on heaven's side, the day is going to come down, as it were, the church come down Main Avenue with the banners flying in triumphant victory, because, brother, we're going to overcome the world. We're overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is ours. The church is going to receive glory throughout all ages in this world, in the world to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to sing in praise to him. We don't have to hide and suck our thumbs. The truth of the matter is, we're the winners. Sometimes we Christians act like we're the losers, but we're not. In Jesus, we're victorious. You know, when I was first saved, and I was not raised in Sunday school, so some of the little courses that other kids had sung, you know, different ones. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'd never heard that in my life till I got saved at 22 years old. And the preacher, after a few months, put me in a Sunday school, and I began to hear those messages in those little old songs. You know that? One of them I remember that we would sing is we'd sing something like this: "Rise and shine and give God the glory." Well, that's what we need to do now. Rise and shine and give God the glory. We're the winners. We're not the losers. And it's so easy to forget that, folks, if we're not careful. It says, rise and shine, give God the glory. I think it said, ye soldiers of the cross, that's what we are. We are marching to a different drumbeat than the world. We are supposed to be different. We let that victory reflect to others. You know, I say this, God can have a purpose even in bad times like this. Yes, he can. Romans 8:28, still in the book. All things still work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you. That's you. You have the victory in him. You know, you might be here and you say, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God's being good to you to give you a chance to wake up while there's time. And get prepared and get ready. Come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can wake up and be saved. What are you trusting right now? There's only one Savior. That's the Lord Jesus. Not some religion, not some false idea. Just Jesus. You know, the best news I ever heard when I walked in the church, I was hot rod driver, construction worker, you name it. I walked in the church with my sleeves rolled up and my work clothes and sat on the back. And if it had been a pew further back, I'd have got on it. That was my attitude. But I wanted to date that girl, so I wound up in church. And guess what? I heard the best news I ever heard in my life. And that was that I could be saved by grace. I'd already figured out I couldn't earn it. Already figured out I couldn't be good enough. But then I heard that Jesus was good enough and took my place. And I'd get in heaven by his righteousness, not mine. That's the best news I ever heard. I heard the preacher get up and say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I thought, could that really mean me? That didn't hardly seem fair. I'd been too bad. But that's what grace is about. Amen. He loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for me. Wonderful truth. You know, God's purpose might be just in his long suffering, letting Jesus wait just a little longer that you could get saved. And maybe in this fear and panic of all this worldwide flu business, maybe in all this fear, some folks are going to say, hey, I was not really ready to die. And maybe they'll look to America and look to you and I, and we can tell them that Jesus will save you. You can be ready. You can be ready. Isn't that the wonderful, wonderful truth that you can be ready? One of the biggest revelations to me was to hear and understand the gospel, that you could be saved now and know it now. The scripture says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, not wait and find out. But no, You want to sleep good tonight? Have the assurance you'd go to heaven if the Lord called you during the night. Right? I don't care what the newspaper says or what the news says. God can still make good out of this evil. And I'm trusting that He will. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to You in prayer. Lord, we're just kind of reminding ourselves that You do have a purpose. Nothing takes You by surprise. And Father, this virus didn't take You by surprise. And God, I'm praying that You will make good out of it. I thank You for the protection we've had in our area, the protection You've given us in our church. But Father, I pray that You'd use the fear and the panic to wake some folks up, to face the truth. They're not ready without Jesus, and that they'd come to Him and hear the good news that He will save them if they'll come to Him. I pray You'd bless the invitation here. Father, out in the radio land, folks are listening out there where they're listening and watching, maybe in a car or in a living room or somewhere else. I pray for them right now. I pray, Father, that in these times of fear, they would see the answer is not government, but the answer is God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, they would be willing to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. I pray You'd help them to even pray that today and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front here in the auditorium. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea but that Thy blood.
How about you this morning? Will you come? Will you come?
Me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
You know, in the midst of these trying days, I don't know, I was kind of shocked how quick things flipped. How people's attitude of fear took over so fast. Maybe it didn't surprise you, but it did me a little bit. One of the things that shocked me a little bit was almost immediately churches came under attack, like we invented the virus, like we were the only ones that could spread it. When I think just the opposite ought to have happened. Just the opposite should have been, let's call on God, let's get in touch with God, let's ask God for help. Seemed to me that would have been the wiser thing to do. Okay. Some folks coming here we'll deal with. Don't you think that, you remember when Jonah got on board and jinxed the ship, remember? On the way to Nineveh, he had to detour through the whale, remember? But even those heathen sailors, when the storm came up, they looked to God, didn't they? They wanted to find out what the trouble was. I fear in America we transferred our trust falsely. We run to government instead of God. First word I heard on the news when this stuff started breaking was close the churches. I said, you ought to close the TV and open the churches. I just believe God's bigger than anything else. And I think we ought to try to make him play second fiddle to any of man's rules and regulations. And Brother Parsons was telling me about watching the, I don't know, I hope I'd find out some more who the preacher was, but I don't know who he was, but if he went to jail 3 days rather than close his church, I'm on his side. Just on his side. That's all there is to it. We are all, if we're saved, going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer. And if you're lost, you're going to go to the great white throne judgment, and that's going to be very, very bad. I just believe I really trust God. Amen.